Annette, the 2020 census is coming up.
Yeah, that's who our producer Alex was talking to today.
Oh, she got a call from the census?
She got a call from the census person.
Well, as we recently learned, for the census, you get counted where you spend most of your time, so not necessarily where you live.
Right.
It's a very simple principle. People are counted as living in the place where they spend the majority of their time. Hospitals, no. Long-term medical care, yes. Jails, no. Prisons, yes.
So that means if you're in prison or away at college, you get counted there, not in your hometown.
Here's the difference. If you are a college student, you are out in the community, you are engaging with the community, you're shopping, you're talking to people, you reach your lawmakers, you are a part of the community in a way that if you are in a prison, even if you are in that location, you're not actually part of the outside community in the same way.
And you know, Shai, a lot of people counted in prisons are from Philadelphia, but they're serving their time in rural areas.
Yeah, and it turns out if people in prison were counted where they're from, not in prison, Philadelphia could have at least one more state representative.
Yeah. So why are prisoners counted in the districts where they're serving their sentences? And how could it impact the district you live in? I'm Annette John Hall.
And I'm Shai Ben-Yaakov. This is The Why.
Jonathan Lai is a reporter for the Philadelphia Inquirer.
So, Jonathan, we've been hearing about gerrymandering in the news for a while now. And when we talk about gerrymandering, we're talking about shifting the lines around in order to gain some kind of political advantage. What is prison gerrymandering? What does this specific term mean?
Right. So in gerrymandering, you're trying to shift people from one party or another into a different area, right? The difference with prison gerrymandering is that you're not talking about a specific political party. You're looking at where prisoners are counted when it comes time for the 2020 census and how you draw the political maps around that. So there's been a lot of research about prison gerrymandering recently, and earlier this year, Villanova University professors Brianna Remster.
I'm the sociologist that studies the criminal justice system and how that reproduces inequalities.
And Rory Kramer.
I'm a sociologist who focuses on racial inequalities in whatever system they're produced.
Actually studied Pennsylvania specifically, and they found that if you counted prisoners in their home districts rather than in the prisons where they currently are at the time of the census,
in all likelihood, Philadelphia as a whole city would have at least one more district.
Philadelphia would have more representation in Harrisburg.
And considering how much Philadelphia asks of the state and how much the state does or does not provide of Philadelphia, that one more person could matter a lot.
So let's back up a little bit, Jonathan. How are these maps drawn? To begin with, are they based on census counts?
Yeah, absolutely. You've heard of one person, one vote.
Yeah.
So basically, every 10 years, the United States Census Bureau conducts a census, and it tries to count every single person in the United States. After that, every state has to go and draw its political maps.
Okay.
In order to have an effective democracy that's based on equality, we need to know how many people live where and divide that up to be proportionate.
And what one person, one vote means is that every political map is supposed to have every district be the same exact population.
It's roughly like 62,000 is the average, but we're going to go with 60 because that's so much easier.
And that makes sense if you say every lawmaker should have the same number of constituents.
Right.
They should be responding to the same number of people. It wouldn't be fair if I have twice as many people to respond to as you do,
mm-hmm.
right?
So, Jonathan, the politicians representing the district the prisoners are in, are the prisoners their constituents?
Technically, yes. But in practice, lawmakers and people who are in prison tell me that's not the case.
Representatives with prisons or jails in their districts do not think of the people in those facilities as their constituency. So in order to say to the government, I would like this from you, this is what my community needs, this is what I care about, you need someone in the government who would actually listen to that. If I don't think you're my constituent as a representative, I'm not going to listen.
I spoke with one formerly incarcerated person.
My name is Atee Bakwasi, and I am the co-chair, along with Madeline Dunn, of the West Philly Voting Bloc. I served 27 years in three different states.
And he says that when he was in prison, he didn't know who the theoretical lawmaker was. He didn't reach out to that person.
As far as they're concerned, we don't exist for them because we can't vote. If you're in a state institution, you don't have any voting rights.
He would reach out to the lawmakers from back in Philadelphia.
You're somebody like myself, and I'm fighting to get out of prison. I'm claiming that I'm innocent, and I'm fighting to get out of prison. And there are certain laws that are on that people are supporting and trying to get passed that may assist me. I would advocate first by writing letters to the legislators.
If someone is incarcerated and they need to get in touch with the political process for whatever reason, they're worried about their son or their daughter and their schooling. They're worried about the environment in their home community that they're going to go home to in a couple months or whatever the case may be. They don't have that access. They have to rely on family back home to provide that access. That is requiring more work by the family of the incarcerated individual. It's a collateral effect of incarceration that simply just doesn't have to be.
When we come back,
hyper-incarceration is a predominantly urban problem. It's predominantly a Black and Latino problem as well.
This is The Why.
Supporting WHYY, Penn Medicine, helping to find new cures for cancer. With life-saving clinical trials and advanced surgical techniques, Penn Medicine is offering more hope for patients everywhere. Learn more at PennMedicine.org/cancer. Penn Medicine, what's next?
I'm Annette John Hall.
And I'm Shai Ben-Yaakov. We're talking with Philadelphia Inquirer reporter Jonathan Lai about prison gerrymandering and the upcoming 2020 census. How is this issue affected differently across race? We're talking about, if we're talking about people mostly coming from cities, I would think we're talking about more minorities perhaps who are being counted in places where they, you know, didn't vote for the representative.
Right. Philadelphia, it's a majority minority city. And so even if you try to look at this without looking at race, if you just say, well, Philadelphians are being overrepresented in prisons in rural areas, that means people of color are being overrepresented in whiter rural areas. That comes back to all sorts of issues, including the nature of mass incarceration and where prisons are built and where the people who are in those prisons come from.
Without mass incarceration, this is a smaller issue. I think it, morally and theoretically, it is an important issue to think about how are we representing every single person in the nation, because that's what a democracy is. We've gone to 2.2 million people incarcerated in some form or another in the country. In Pennsylvania, there are 60,000 people, roughly, in state prisons.
So just to push back a little bit, if someone's in prison in Phoenixville, for example, doesn't that mean they wouldn't really be represented in Philadelphia either? Like, what's the argument they should be counted in, you know, the place where they're originally from, not the place where they are?
The current state of affairs is that a prisoner in Phoenixville says, I'm not being represented by the lawmaker in Phoenixville, and I'm not exactly being properly represented by my lawmakers in Philadelphia either, because they're taking on more constituents than they really should.
Counting prisoners as residents of the often rural legislative districts where they're incarcerated advantages someone else. And it advantages residents of those districts, and at the same time takes away or disadvantages their home district.
So much federal, state, and local funding, the political maps, there's so much that depends on the census. And the way in which you count people determines how their voices are heard. And that's what we're talking about when we're talking about prison gerrymandering. We're talking about whose voices are heard, where are they heard, how are they counted.
Just a lot of money, federal money that comes down there that may not come to us because of the numbers. The numbers aren't here. The numbers are up in Fayette or in Allegheny County somewhere, you know, one of those places.
And so that's part of the argument, is to say if we actually equitably distribute where people are counted and we count people in prison in their home districts, that might make it easier for them to be properly represented by their lawmakers.
Who's making that argument?
So there have been some lawmakers who are taking up this issue. State Representative Joanna McClinton from Philadelphia, she's one of the people I spoke with, and she herself said, some of the people I consider my constituents aren't technically on paper my constituents because they are prisoners from Philadelphia who are currently in prisons elsewhere in the state. And so she's introduced a bill, and she's proposing that, quite simply, people in prisons get counted in their home districts. And Governor Tom Wolf, a fellow Democrat, says that he supports the idea in general.
And there are some Republicans who are giving it some support too, aren't there?
I think that's right, although there's always a question of how much people support a general idea versus the specific bill.
Right.
Is it possible this could change in time for the 2020 census?
So what's really interesting here is that you don't actually need to change the census itself. The census is going to count people. What you need to change is how those populations are then counted when you're drawing the political maps.
Mm.
And so that's 2021. So there is a little bit more time there. Is it possible? Yes. Will it happen? Honestly, that comes back to what's happening in Harrisburg. Can all sides agree? Can they engage in good faith negotiations to get something through?
Jonathan, thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you, Jonathan, for coming.
Thanks for having me.
Jonathan Lai is a reporter for the Philadelphia Inquirer. The Y is produced by me, Shai Ben-Yaakov.
And me, with the hoarse voice, Annette Hall.
You're sounding better today.
I am.
With Alex Stern and Kelsey Hansen.
And with editorial direction from Katie Colinari.
Do you think prisoners should be counted where they live for the census or where they're serving time? Send a tweet at Shai Ben-Yaakov.
And at Annette J.H.
We'll be back Monday.
See you Monday.
Have a good weekend, Annette.
Yeah, I'll try to drink a lot of tea.
Yeah, definitely.